verse 34 through right about 37. The Bible says, "But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and," what, everybody? "Struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its and struck and" what? "Killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear." I don't know about you, but if we lived in the world today, we would say that if David lived in the world today, we would say that David was a bad man. Come on, somebody. He killed a lion and a bear. Tell me the last person that you know to kill a lion and a bear. Verse 36, the Bible says, "Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover," David said, "the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." May the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Confident." Confident. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Confident." Confident. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated. I want to tell you that one thing that we lack in Christianity sometimes, I believe, is confidence. And the confidence is not the confidence that you have on your job. The confidence, not the confidence that you have in your school, which we will talk about, because I do believe that there are some students here that are lacking confidence. I do believe that there are some people here that are lacking self-esteem. But the confidence that I really want to talk about this morning, going into this afternoon, has to be the confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see all the things that are going on in the world today, and we begin to lose hope, and we begin to lose faith, as if God does not have the power, as if God does not have any more power left to give. I don't know, but the last time I checked, God is the creator of all things. And if God created all things, don't you believe that he has the power to recreate, to restructure, to fix, to remove the enemy from the hands of this world? And so we lack confidence. And so on today, I want to talk to you about confidence, or being confident. And so we find ourselves hearing this familiar passage of scripture of this man, this little boy, I should say, not a little boy. He's about 16 years old. How many 16-year-olds do I have in here today? 16? No, 16? 17? Can I get an 18? Can I get an 18? Can I get a 19? A 19. Oh, there we go. we see this little man by the name of David. 16 years of age. 16 years of age, in this generation, they start driving, right? How many of y'all started driving at 16? Tell the truth. Y'all started 15? Somebody started driving at 15? 14? Anybody started driving at 14? I started driving when I was 15 years old. I drove, I went to Thunderbird Adventures Academy. Y'all heard of that place before? Way down in the hot Arizona. I was there for 4 years, and there was a teacher there. Well, she was actually the teacher of the elementary school. Her and I became really good friends, and she allowed me to drive her car. It was a stick shift car. It was an old car, and it had the clutch. Something, y'all know what a stick shift car is, by the way? Had a clutch. You see, now we have automatic sticks and all that stuff. No, I had the real thing. And I used to jerk and jerk and jerk and jerk. And man, it was so, but she allowed me. She taught me how to drive at the age of 15. So I've been driving since I was 15 years old. At 16, people start driving. Now, David, he didn't start driving at 16. At 16, he was killing lions and he was killing bears. The world has truly changed. Amen, somebody. And so we see this little man by the name of David. We know his story. He was a shepherd man. He was a shepherd boy. He used to go out into the field and he would take care of his sheep. And so God was always planning and always had a purpose for David. And so now he takes a little lunch to his brothers. His brothers are out there in the field. They were warriors. They were soldiers. They saw this man by the name of Goliath. Goliath was on the other side. Goliath was the enemy. Goliath was a big, tall, strong man. Some writers will tell you that he was about 9 to 10 feet tall. The tallest person I've ever seen up close was Shaquille O'Neal. Now, just imagine I've heard of, there's a lot of other people that are a lot taller than Shaquille O'Neal. I've read it online and different things like this. But this brother here was about 9, to 10 feet tall. We don't know David's height at that time. We know his age, roughly about 16. So I would speculate to say if he was 16, a warrior, and many people were a lot taller during that time, he may have been at 16, maybe about the size of Pastor Jameson. What do you say, huh? About 6'3", 6'4"? But Jameson, you still cannot compete, or can you still have to look up, almost break your neck to a man at the size of 9 feet tall. But not only was he tall, he was also big. Some say fat, maybe burly. Strong man. And so this uncircumcised Philistine, let me switch the mics, by the way. This can I, where's the hand? There's a hand held up here? Yeah, let me get to the hand. We know that
it's on. And we know, so we see that this man by the name of Goliath was talking about Israel. But you know what? It was not just talking about Israel, but he was talking about the God of Israel. Now, I'm not trying to have a difference of culture here, but I just want to make sure you understand something about the culture that I grew up in. And maybe some of you understand it as well. Now, there are certain people in life you just don't talk about. Now, where I'm from, you don't talk about my mom. Come on, somebody. You talk about my mom, you get hurt. Come on, somebody. Now, this man was talking about the God of Israel. Now, you have to understand, as much as I love my mom, I have to admit that my mom did not create me. My mom may have birthed me, but my mom did not create me. God created me. And so if I will not allow anyone to talk about my mom, I better not allow anyone to talk about my God. Amen, somebody. I want to tell some young person this right now. As you grow up in life, there are going to be people out there that's going to talk about the God that you serve. They're going to say your God is weird. They're going to say you're weird. They're going to say you're different. They're going to say all these things about you. But I want to encourage you. You be focused and you stay prayerful and you stay connected to the God that created you, because God loves you. And the God that loves you, the God that created you, he will make sure that you make it into the kingdom of heaven. Come on, somebody. Don't worry about what other people say about your God. Your God is real. Our God is real. Our God is serious about his love for you. Our God is serious about you getting into the kingdom of heaven. Everyone out there right now, whether you go to church Sabbath after Sabbath, you know what goes on in the news. They are talking about the God of heaven and earth. But I want to encourage you, you stay on the side of the God of heaven and earth, because he will take down your Goliath. Amen, somebody. And so now we see this man. We see this uncircumcised Philistine talking about the God of Israel. And now comes this little boy. This is why I love young people. This is why I love young people. I still do a lot of youth work, but not as much as I used to. But I love the young people because they have the confidence. They have the vibrancy. They have what they would call the childlike faith to go into any situation and believe what God says. Now, as we get older, come on to my seasoned saints. As you get older, all the experience of the world, you begin to not be as faithful or believe as strong as when you were younger. That's why the Bible says to make it into the kingdom of heaven, you must have childlike faith. You tell a child to go out there and do something, they will go out there and do something. You tell a child that the sky is gray, most of them will believe you. Come on, somebody. They may question you for a moment, but they'll believe what you got to say. Why? Because they believe in what the adults are telling them. Now, as we get older, we lose our faith. We forget the promises that God has in the word for us, to tell us that if you are in trouble, I will help you get out. To tell you if you are tired, I will give you rest. To tell you that I am the controller of your life. What happened to Christians? What happened to our faith in God? What happened to our confidence? Why now do we walk around and we're moping around? Why do we seem as if we are sad people? Why does it seem like we're always down? Why does it seem like we have lost the faith? What happened to the confidence in God? The confidence is not a confidence in you, but it's in the confidence of Jesus Christ. And so now we have this man by the name of David. He came and he brought some food, some lunch to his brothers. We know the story, so I'll go through it quickly. The lunch that he brought to his brothers was to help feed them, nourish them, give them strength for the battle. But they were shaking in their boots. They were scared. And David heard about this Philistine talking negatively about the God of Israel. And he approaches his brothers and he says, "Why aren't y'all doing anything about it?" They said, "Go back, David. You're a little boy. Go back, David. This is a man's thing." Young people, all due respect to my seasoned saints out there, all due respect. Listen. If God has asked you to do something, it doesn't matter how old that other person is. If God has called you to do it, you go out and do what God says. Amen, somebody. Please don't get mad at me. And so he spoke to the brothers. His brothers was like, "Listen, get out of here, you little boy. This is not for you. This is a man's thing." David says, "You know what? I'm just going to take care of this myself." We, long story short, we know what happens. David goes and he talks to Saul. And Saul says, "Listen, you know what? Since, David, you have fought lions and you have fought bears, now you can probably go out and fight Goliath. But before you go out and fight Goliath, why don't you put on my armor?" A couple of things real fast. I'm trying to get through this quickly, so I'm kind of skipping. You guys know how we watch in this generation now, we have what they call DVRs. Y'all know DVR? So, you know, you can replay the show, and then when you replay the show, you can skip through the commercials. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so what I'm doing, I'm skipping through the commercials. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to get to it. I'm skipping through the commercials. I got to let you out of here. Watch this. The man Saul says, the king Saul says to David, put on my armor. There's a problem. The problem simply is this, is that Saul's armor is different than what David is normally used to fighting in. The problem is simply this, that Saul is a king. Saul is a man. David is still a young man, a youth, getting older, getting taller, getting stronger. How is it that he is to fight in the same armor than Saul? Listen, y'all. The generation today is different. We cannot expect the young people to do the exact same things that the season that we have done in the past. The armor is different. Young people, you got to fight in your own armor. You got to fight the way God has asked you to fight. It's a different fight. We still have the same principles. We're still going to fight, and we're going to still be confident in God, but the fight may be different. Are y'all with me out there? And so he was asked to fight in Saul's armor, and David put on the armor. And as he put on the armor, it's like my son trying to wear my suit. He can't fit. It can't work because my suit is too big for him. And so David took off the armor. And by the way, let me just throw this one in there. I know I'm sorry for regressing, but I digress, but watch this. You remember how we read the scriptures, and the scripture talked about how David fought lions and he fought bears, and then he was able to fight Goliath. The things that you go through in life will prepare you for your Goliath. The trials, seasoned saints, you can tell me, I can tell some of you the things that I have gone through in my life have prepared me for my Goliath. Unlike the story of David, there's only one Goliath, but we have to understand in this world today, we will have more than one Goliath. Every obstacle is like a Goliath. Every trial is like a Goliath, but I want to tell you that God has already prepared and purposed you to fight your Goliath, but not only fight your Goliath, but to defeat your Goliath. And so now it's his time. Have you ever asked a question? I know you guys have. Some of y'all know the answer to this question already. Some of y'all know the answer to the question. Why did he choose 5 stones? Why 5? Why 5? Why 5? Why 5? Huh? Why 5? What's up, Tom? How you doing? Huh? To kill Goliath. Why 5 stones? Why 5 stones? Talk to me. For his brothers. You know what I heard one great preacher say that he chose 5 stones because Jesus has 5 letters in his name. Come on, somebody. First stone is J. The The second son is E. The second son is S. And the second son is U. And the second, come on, y'all with me right now? Y'all don't like that. All right. That's not biblical. So he chose the five stones. And now it's his time. He goes, now there's a great book. Some of y'all have read the book called David, yes, the book entitled, I forgot the author, but it's David and Goliath. How many of y'all read that book, by the way? It's a pretty good book. You read it, son? Oh, man. This kid right here is smart. Do you remember the author of the book? Goldberg. I think it's Goldberg. Yes. A book called David and Goliath. A very great read. I agree with a lot of what it's saying. Some things, I don't know if it's actually accurate, but it's a very great read, a very good book. And so we find ourselves now looking at the battle. The battle between David and Goliath. This is, I need you, son. Come here. All right. You're going to be David, okay? Pastor, where you? Pastor, come on. Come on. Let's go on stage. What's your name, son?
Cal.
Huh?
Cal?
Come on.
Feel like I should say
P5O5. Okay. Now this, can y'all see it? Not yet. Don't fall. Now, stand up, Goliath. Come on. No breaks for Goliath. No breaks. Now, listen, y'all. Now, some people have watched so much TV that you cannot imagine what the Word of God is really saying. For a moment, just get your mind off of all the shows that you watch, all the movies that you have seen, Star Wars that just came out. Get your mind off of all that. Come on, somebody. And focus on the Word of God. Now, I must admit, I don't know the height of David. We don't 100% know the height of Goliath. We know it's roughly about 9 feet. But I would assume, in my Holy Ghost sanctified imagination, that this was about the difference in height. What do you say? Huh? So now, we have Goliath. And now, we have, who are you? Who are you?
David.
Ah, now we have David and Goliath. It's the showdown. It's the thriller in Manila. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. If y'all, for my boxing fans out there. This is a showdown of the ages. And we have David and Goliath. Now, remember something, y'all. That this bout, this match did not take a long time. This bout, this match was done in quicker than a Mike Tyson punch out. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Loosen up. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all up there know what I'm talking about. Watch this. Remember, David did not spend. Y'all stay right there. I'm going to get to you in a minute. Y'all stay right there. Stare. Look at him. Just stare him down. Look at him. Y'all keep looking. Watch this. You remember that when David went up against Goliath, David did not take a long time. David took his stone. And he put it in his slingshot. He ran, the Bible says. Go back and check me later on. He ran, the Bible says, and he threw slung the slingshot, and the stone came out of the slingshot, and it hit Goliath right away. There was not a lot of time to play, a lot of time to tiptoe around. David went straight to destroy Goliath. I got a word for somebody right now, for my young people, but listen also to my adults, especially my young adults. We don't have time to play with Satan. We don't have time to play a game. Put yourself on his ground, 1 foot in and 1 foot out, or 2 foot. I'll do this for a little bit, and then I'll go back to God. Then I'll be with him with Satan for a little bit. Then I'll go back to God. We don't have time to play in the river and in the boat. Come on, somebody. We ain't got time for that. We have no time to place ourselves on the devil's playground. When it's time to fight, when it's time to go up against your obstacle, when it's time to go up against your challenge, you go and you fight it head on. Don't be afraid. Have confidence, not in yourself, but have confidence in God. We don't have any more time to play around. Listen, y'all. Listen, there's a show out there. I got you. It's on pause. I'm the commercial right now. This is on pause, all right? Oh, man. I got rid of it. Watch this. Now, there's a show out there on Fox. I don't know if it came out already or if it's getting ready to come out. I was flipping through the channels one day, and I saw this show, the previews to this show. And I pray that no one in this church watches that show. And I pray that you don't allow your children to watch this show. Young people, don't watch this show. There's a show out there called Lucifer. Y'all heard of it? Brand new. Brand new. A show called Lucifer. How more blatant can it get? How worse can it get? We should not, it's the to the point where I don't even really, that's why I have a DVR so I can flip through the commercials, because there are the commercials are bad. The shows are bad. The world is getting crazier. But you know what? The Bible is true. The spirit of prophecy is real. There's going to be a shaking. And the people that are not rooted and grounded in the salvation of Jesus Christ, they will be shaken out. But watch this. As the world is being shaken in the church, there will be people that will be coming out of the world inside the church. So I want to tell you to hold on and have confidence. So now go. Now let's go. Let's go. Back to the TV show. Come on, somebody. All right. This might be a little bit too heavy for him, huh? All right, you ready? Ready, set, action. Okay. We're going to do take two. Okay, you ready? You got it? Yeah. Ready? Ready? Let's go. Oh, yeah.
Good job, David. You're all good.
Yeah. Now listen, come here. Oh, this is too heavy. Yes, I have this. Come on, y'all. Give him a hand. Good job, baby. Good job, preacher. Listen, I had an opportunity. I'm closing now. I had an opportunity to go to Africa. I've been to Africa a couple times. This particular one was my second time. A place called Namibia. Namibia is a beautiful country. It's where the desert and the beach, as if it's one, it comes together. So I was at this place where they took me to called Sakamand, if I can pronounce it correctly. And here in Namibia, I was doing a week out there with some other pastors, and they were going to take me to this place called Dune 7. Dune 7. Turn to your neighbor and say, Dune 7. Say, Dune 7. Dune 7 is a gigantic sand dune. Now, we have sand dunes down in Orange County, but a lot in L.A. But you know what? It, to me, is nothing compared to this sand dune. And so they said to me, Pastor Gerald, we are getting ready to take you to this sand dune. And it's a large one. Do you think that you'll be able to climb it? And I said, of course I'll be able to climb it. I am in perfect shape. So the bus passes the sand dune and it comes around. And I saw the sand dune. And you know when you're kind of not confident, you get butterflies in your stomach? Come on, somebody. I was talking as if I was just the best basketball player in the state of California. And they was like, yes, we know you can do it. And I said, of course I can do it. And so now we all jump out of the bus. And as we jump out of the bus, there are some individuals that rushed, and they were running as if it was a race to get to the top of the sand dune. And they're running. And then you have people that were in the back. And then you have someone like me that was just in the middle, just taking my time. I'm going up the sand dune. Breathing hard. Sweating. Getting tired. But I'm still going. I noticed something, that the people that were with me when I started this journey, they started to slowly fade away. After 5 to 10 minutes into this journey, climbing this sand dune, I noticed that now, when I started with a whole lot of people, now I am by myself. And I'm going up this sand dune. And I'm hot. And I'm tired. I'm breathing heavy. I'm out of shape. And my legs are starting to itch. Come on, somebody. But I'm going because I said that I would make it. What happened as I got closer, the people were behind me. There are people that had already made it. And there are people on the side. And I started hearing like a cacophony of voices, a sound, I should say. They were saying, Pastor Gerald, you can do it. 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 And the more I heard my name, come on, somebody, the more I heard them say that, Pastor Gerald, you can do it, the more energized I got. And I was able to make it all the way to the top. And when I got to the top, I just Now, people who know me, like Robert Ussery, Pastor Jameson, they know I love to talk to people. I love to hang out. I love to talk. I love to have a good time. For 1 hour, I didn't want anyone to talk to me. I didn't want anyone to come see me. I just sat there by myself. I began to think about it. And the illustration, why I gave this illustration is simply this, is that we need to have confidence in Jesus Christ. That we, no matter how high that mountain is, no matter how long that climb may be, that God will empower you to make it to the top. As you are traveling, young people, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be trials. There's going to be some setbacks. Seasoned saints, you're still in the race. And there's going to be even difficult times, even more difficult times, if we still stay in this thing. But I want to give somebody a word of encouragement today, that he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. My God is faithful. And for what we need to do, we need to stay faithful in the race, because we will make it to the top. We must have confidence in Jesus. And so I am reminded of scriptures that say that he that began a good work in you, he will complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the scriptures that say, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. I'm reminded of the promises in the Bible that encourages me to hold on, because God will send his son Jesus to take us back home. So it doesn't matter how high your mountain is. It doesn't matter how tall your Goliath is. Have no fear. Trust in the Lord and everything is going to be all right. There's somebody. There's some young person. There's somebody in this church from the balcony to this main floor that is wavering in their confidence. Yeah, maybe some low self-esteem. It may be some challenges on their job. And maybe it's just your confidence in the assurance of salvation. By the way, did you realize that in the story of David and Goliath, that because David beat Goliath, Israel beat the Philistines? Let me repeat that. Because David beat Goliath. Remember, David's brother didn't fight. The others didn't fight, but David fought. And because David fought, and he won, now all of Israel wins. Here's the word. We didn't fight. We haven't fought. Jesus fought. Jesus won. And because Jesus wins, I win. Confidence. Not in myself, but confidence in Jesus. And on today, I want to know if there's somebody that wants to come down for a special prayer. A young person, people in the balcony, someone in the main floor down here that says, you know what? I heard the message of today, and you know what? I need to have that confidence, not in myself, but that confidence in Jesus Christ. Is there someone like that that wants to come down and say, Pastor, I heard you, and I want you to have a word of prayer with me. My confidence is lacking. My confidence in school is lacking. My confidence in I have low self-esteem. My confidence in my assurance of salvation is lacking. but I've heard the message of today, and the Goliath that I'm facing cannot defeat me because the God that is within me is more powerful than the God that's in the world today. Is there someone right now that wants to come down? Says, you know what, I just want you to pray with me, Pastor. Just come on, let me just have a word of prayer with you. Come on. Let me have a word of prayer with you. There's somebody in the balcony said, Pastor, I just want you to have a word of prayer. I want you to pray with me to build up my confidence. Build up my confidence in the assurance of salvation. To build up my confidence to give me joy in this world. To build up my confidence to let me know that, you know what, that trouble won't last always. To build up my confidence to say that even though I'm going through a certain trial, even though I have a Goliath, that I can still defeat the Goliath through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Come on, let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, oh God, for sending your son, Jesus Christ. Sending your son, Jesus Christ, has given us the victory because he wins, or because he has won. We also have won. But Lord, through this journey of life, it's difficult. Marriages, issues at the church, problems at school, raising a family. Lord, sometimes we lose faith and we lose hope. But oh God, I pray that this story of David and Goliath, the simplicity of the story, will remind us that it doesn't matter our age, it doesn't matter our size, it doesn't matter what has happened in our life, that any Goliath we face, we can defeat as long as we have the power of God. And so, Lord, we must be connected to the power source, which is you. And so there are people out there that are not connected. And so I pray, Father, that from this message going forward, they will connect or reconnect with you. Lord, people have come down just for a word of prayer. They're saying that they're lacking confidence, maybe confidence in school, maybe confidence at their job, maybe the lack of confidence in their assurance of salvation. And so, God, I pray that you will instill confidence in them, the confidence of God, the confidence of the Almighty Jesus Christ. Empower them with your spirit. Lord, let them have joy in their life. Let them have peace in their life. Let them pass classes at school. Let them get promotions on their job, Father. Let them, oh God, become better husbands and wives, and let them become better parents, Father. Let them become better church members, better Christians, oh God. Lord, do what only you can do. Instill and empower confidence in them in the name of Jesus. Lord, every head is bowed, every eyes closed. Before I close this prayer, I just want to know that somebody says, Pastor, I want to be baptized. Pastor Gerald, Pastor Elijah, Pastor Jameson. I want to be baptized. I want to get baptized in the next baptism. There's somebody like that right now that's saying, I want to be baptized. I want to prepare for baptism. I want to prepare for baptism. There's somebody down here. There's somebody here. There's somebody out there. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Is there someone? I want to be in the next baptism. I want to begin Bible studies and prepare for that next baptism. Is there somebody? Somebody. Somebody has not been baptized. They're saying they want to be baptized. Anybody? Oh, Lord, we close this prayer by saying thank you for the leadership of this church. I start with, first of all, the Pathfinder leadership. Brother and Sister Raider, continue to bless them, oh God. I thank you, God, for the Pathfinders of this church. I pray for the leadership of the Adventurers, Brother and Sister Usery, oh God. I pray that you continue to bless them, oh God, and this Adventurer Club. Thank you, Lord, for the Adventurers. Help the Pathfinders and the Adventurers to know that, you know, God is in control of their life, and have confidence when they're marching, have confidence when they're at the camperees, to know that God is on their side. Continue to bless them. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Jameson, oh Father, his leadership with the young people, oh God, his family, oh Father, his commitment to you and to further the gospel message. I pray that you'll continue to bless him, Father, every step of the way. Lord, help him to know it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. Lord, I lift up the pastor of this church. Thank you, O God, for his longevity. Thank you, O God, for the many testimonies that he has. Thank you, O God, for his leadership here. And I pray that you will continue to give him a vision, continue to give him the passion and the desire to win souls in the Yucaipa area and to disciple those under his leadership. I thank you, O God, so much for this time together in prayer. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Let everyone say amen, amen. May God bless you. May you move in confidence in the power of God, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit. May God bless each one of you.